We get it. After all the frustration, the endless cycles of hoping for a system that actually works, you're ready for something steady. Something that delivers without constant workarounds or headaches. That's why we're excited to introduce the 2025 redesign of the Buzz CRM. Built with you in mind, it's more intuitive, faster, and smarter than ever. Finally, a CRM that sees your worth, streamlines your workflows, and gives you the tools to thrive without needing to prove yourself over and over again. Because you deserve a lifeline after all those outdated platforms. You deserve a system that keeps up with your goals and grows with your success. This isn't just a redesign, it's a revolution. Visit thebuzzcrm.com today. That's thebuzzcrm.com.
Taking you on a journey for the pursuit of PPC. Welcome to PPC Rockstars. Get ready to rumble through the latest PPC news and views from around the blogosphere. Learn from our host and the PPC pros that will take you to the promised land of PPC profit. We're cashing in the clicks with the PPC Rockstars. Here's your host, David Zatella.
Hey, PPC friends. Another episode of PPC Rockstars, and a special episode because of the fact that we get to talk with one of our friends from across the pond. That would be over in Europe. And this is a guest we've had on once before, but I was anxious to get him back because we enjoyed the interview so much. And that is Niels Roymans from the Netherlands. And I don't even think you have a company, do you? It's just you, right?
Well, actually, I do have a company, but I don't have an office anymore, as in it's sort of like a remote boutique PPC agency. I have clients and people working with me all over the world. So in these days, we're lucky that we can still work from the places that we or the sort of places that we are used to work from.
Very good point. Yeah, I wanted to start off, we have some PPC-related topics to talk about, but I wanted to start out asking you about how you've been affected by the pandemic. First, I wanted to ask you to describe what you described last time as a very interesting lifestyle.
Right. Yeah, so like roughly 15, 16 years ago, I came across this guy, Tim Ferriss. I literally met him in a gym and he was doing weird exercises and I got in touch with him. We had a chat and he explained his lifestyle to me. And I was like, this is definitely what I envy in life. And since then I've been inspired by his philosophy on how to create a business that facilitates the lifestyle. And that's actually what I try to do with my PPC agency. So I decided to not have an office with people on the payroll working for me because, you know, it limits your freedom in the sense that people expect you to be there and to manage them on a day-to-day basis. Mm-hmm. So I decided to create a PPC agency with the ability to travel the world, meet a lot of interesting people, and try to automate as much as possible so that I can create as much value as I can, combining automation and the intelligence from the people in my team and myself, and have a lot of spare time left to enjoy the other things.
Nice. Very nice. So I believe last time we talked, you described spending a lot of time following the sun, making sure that wherever you were located, you were kind of in summer.
Exactly.
So how has the pandemic and the resulting sheltering and so on affected this lifestyle?
Well, regarding the sun, I'm a lucky guy because the pandemic hit Amsterdam roughly in March this year, and we've had an amazing spring. I live on a houseboat in Amsterdam, and the sun has been shining almost like every day since. So sun-wise, we're really lucky. But life has definitely been different. As in, I have not been traveling since, which for me, it's been almost 20 years, I think, living 6 months in a row in Amsterdam.
Right.
So that's definitely a change. But, I got to spend a lot of time with my friends and the family, and also enjoy Amsterdam since we're lucky. We had a mild lockdown which only lasted for roughly 2 months, so life is sort of getting back to normal over here.
Uh-huh.
Which means that
you strike me as the kind of person who would, will figure out how to enjoy life under almost any circumstances.
I try to.
My wife and I try to have the same attitude. Hey, let's get into some PPC stuff. You did some surveys on LinkedIn. Why don't you describe them, and then we'll get into some of the individual topics.
Sure. Yeah, so I just came up with this idea that I wanted to get a feeling on what features in the Google Ad platform were very popular or new opportunities that I did not discover before. So I decided to just come up with a couple of questions, post them on LinkedIn, and see how the people would engage. And engagement was actually pretty good, as in a lot of comments, and a lot of people liked it. So I asked questions about what features people felt that were really underrated, or some of the features that frustrate the people the most, or features they are experimenting with at the moment. So that brought some interesting results. We definitely can.
Yeah, definitely. So I'm looking at the email you sent me, and I've got four sections. And are these sections, within the sections, there's a list. Within each section, there's a list. Are these listed in order of the most interesting to the people that took the survey?
Yeah, so it's sort of like they basically provided comments in the LinkedIn thread. So the ones on top got the most comments.
Okay.
And so I sorted them based on the number of people that voted for this feature.
Great. Okay, well, let's start at the top here. I'm very interested in why and why discovery ads is at the top of the new features that you're experimenting with, and how that's going for the people doing the experimentation.
Right. Yeah, it sort of was a surprise to me as well, because discovery ads have been out for a while, especially in the US. But still, you know, it's a relatively new feature, and it in my experience as well, it does take some time to learn how to use it to your best benefit. The great thing I think about the discovery ads is that they unlock new inventory that previously was not available to us. They are shown on the YouTube discovery feed and in the Google's news feed, the Google app homepage. So this inventory is new, which means extended exposure for advertisers, which I think is a great thing. But yep, you do have to experiment with it to make them work for you. As in what creatives are working, how to use the targeting options that are available to you, and do some optimizations once they are running. But a lot of people are experimenting with that, and also in the Netherlands they have just been around for a couple of weeks. So
okay. Interesting.
So here it's relatively new, yeah.
Well, it's interesting to me that section, which is what new features in the Google Ads platform are you experimenting with currently, that whole section has several features and tactics that I would characterize as top of funnel. And definitely having to do with the Google Display Network. And the reason I'm kind of surprised is that, you know, I've been an advocate for the Google Display Network for many years, like 10 years. Right. And I'm still finding especially among new clients for whom I say, well, look, we're going to try these top of funnel tactics, and we're also going to use the Google Display Network for direct response. I still get pushback from clients and prospective clients that says, we don't want to, we tried this a long time ago, or we tried it recently and it was junk traffic and we just did badly. So is it your personal interest and more comfort with Google Display Network and top of funnel activities?
Yeah, it's an interesting observation. I definitely agree with you that I also get a lot of pushback on using the GDN network, and for various reasons. Because it is known to have a lot of, you know, websites that just send you click fraud.
Right.
it's of low value. I think that's true. And if you don't know how to manage and optimize the campaigns, that's definitely a huge portion of the traffic you will get. And also optimizing targeting settings within the GDN campaign is something that is not easy. Creating the actual creatives before we had the responsive display ads was also something that is definitely not easy. So yeah, I can understand that. But since we have right now on the GDN platform, you don't have to have a designer to create banners for you. You can use the responsive display ads. Exactly. You don't have to know a lot about the targeting settings because you can simply run it on the smart bidding algorithms. Mm-hmm. And if you start with relatively conservative targeting and some great in-market audiences or even custom intent audiences,
right,
it's getting very interesting even for performance-based marketing where you're really in for the return.
Absolutely.
Not only branding anymore.
Yep. Hey, hold on for just a second. We're going to cut to some sponsor messages and listeners. Don't go away.
PPC Rockstars. We'll be back after we click through our sponsors.
Are you looking for the best in WordPress speed, security, and scalability? WP Engine is a digital experience platform for WordPress, powering digital experiences for large brands around the world. With easy-to-use site management tools and powerful do-it-your-way development features, WP Engine gives you the flexibility to build it your way. Improve your SEO and conversion rates with a faster site on WP Engine. Learn more on WPEngine.com.
Here's the truth you need to know about podcasting. The biggest problem you face right now as a future podcaster is the myth that it takes an enormous amount of time or effort to produce a high-quality professional podcast. Luckily for you, there's a solution to your problem. If you're an online marketer who really needs to grow an audience of buyers but can't do all the heavy lifting alone, then here's the solution you're looking for. Introducing the DFY Podcasting System. Here's what you get. 30 minutes of one-on-one training. A weekly podcast for you or your company. Distribution to almost every podcast portal. An embeddable player for your website. An ebook called How to Podcast, created for WMR.FM show hosts. And much, much more. And best of all, you'll start seeing results with the DFY podcast system within a couple of weeks. You're just one podcast away from growing brand awareness and engagement in your business. Log on to podcast.WMR.FM and sign up for a deeply discounted rate today. That's podcast.wmr.fm.
The pursuit of PPC continues. Welcome back to PPC Rockstars. Here's your host, David Zatella.
And we're back with Niels Roymans. Did I pronounce that correctly? I practiced it for hours after our last session.
Oh, nice. Thank you. No, yeah, that's perfect. Niels Roymans, yes. I remember the rolling R is the challenge, right?
I know. Yeah.
Don't go there.
I don't think I'll ever get it. Okay, so let's just jump down to the next section, Q2. What are the most underused features in Google Ads? And it's very interesting that it's kind of automation in the top four: scripts, ad customizers, automated rules, and then DSAs in there, which I want to talk about in a second. But so I guess one of my interpretations of this was people are picking out the features that they have the most difficulty with scripts at the top, which is ironic because you have a particular expertise and notoriety about scripts. So is that your interpretation as well, that people are listing things they have the most difficulty with?
Yes, and I got to say, I think the answers are a bit biased in the sense that my following on LinkedIn tends to be the PPC audience that sort of leans towards the automation and the more nerdy, geeky stuff of PPC. Yep. So that might be the reason for this showing up. But definitely, yeah, I mean, the power of scripts is just simply amazing. It's one of the most rewarding things in my side job as being an educator on the field of Google Ad scripts is the glance in the eyes I see of people once they get it. Once they get the power of scripts and they created their first own scripts, mm-hmm. it's like a complete new world opening up for them, and they are very excited about what's happening. So
Yeah, I can kind of empathize with it because I actually started out in part of my career as a software developer. So I was an avid programmer, and I feel very ashamed by the fact that I've never touched a script, an AdWords script.
And, we should install one together.
Yeah, that's a good idea. That's a great idea. You should have a contest. So let's talk about DSAs for a second. I really think that it's very true that DSAs are one of the most underused features. These are dynamic search ads where Google automatically creates ads based on their scraping a site. And these are usually used or almost exclusively used by e-commerce retailers. And I've had tremendous success with DSA campaigns for my clients. And yet I still, it's another one where I still get a little bit of pushback from clients who say, I don't understand it, therefore I don't want to use it.
Right. Yeah, again, I agree with you. The DSA campaigns, they can be amazing, especially if you have a huge inventory, like an e-commerce store with thousands or even hundreds of thousands of products, because it's very hard to actually build campaign structure that targets all the different keywords that are relevant for all these different products. And DSA can be of great help with that. Especially, I think, if you layer it with additional layers of automation, like, for instance, a script that automatically negates all the keywords that you target explicitly in the other campaigns in your account. If you have a script running that automatically adds these keywords to a negative keyword list that is attached to your DSA campaigns, you'll make sure that it's not cannibalizing on your standard search ads campaign.
Right.
So that is a great way. And I think the second one, which also relates to another feature that I think is very underused at the moment, is that if you have DSAs running, of course, the Google algorithm is trying to come up with all kinds of user queries that it thinks are relevant to your campaign.
Mm-hmm.
However, as we all know, the machine learning does very, very, very often it does a great job, but also there is still a lot of learning involved. It makes mistakes. It's trial and error. So you want to filter out these mistakes as soon as possible so that you don't spend money on clicks that do not convert. Again, if you use a script to monitor the search terms and alert you if there's a search term that has over a couple of tens or hundreds of clicks and has a CPA that's way off or target ROAS that is way too low, then you can let the script help you negate these search terms and reduce the ad spend to increase the performance of your DSA campaigns.
Oh, yeah, I can see how that would be especially useful in a situation where there's a big inventory.
Right.
You know, one thing I found out, I want to look it up right here, but I didn't find this out until after having a lot of experience with DSAs, but you can actually exclude, you can look at the landing pages that Google is choosing to send traffic to, and not infrequently, you will find that there are pages that you don't want traffic going to, like blog pages or about us pages. And there's a really simple way to exclude those, even without scripts. And I can't remember what the terminology is, but I'll look.
Yeah, that's a good one. So that these you can exclude the pages, like for instance, support pages.
Right.
So that you don't send traffic to these. Yeah.
Right. Hey, you highlighted in this particular section negative keywords. So are you saying that people said that these are underused features in Google Ads?
Exactly. Yeah. And that's also what I notice if I have very often, if I have the opportunity to do an audit in an account, one of the first things that I notice is that the famous Lin-Rodnitsky ratio is way off. And the next step for me would be to dive into the search terms data reports. And especially in the long tail of the search terms, I can easily discover a lot of clicks from search terms that are completely off and do not convert. It's relatively easy to discover them if you use some sort of automation. So for instance, doing n-gram analysis, that is something that a lot of PPC experts have never done before.
Mm-hmm.
If I teach them how to use the n-grams to discover terms that are completely irrelevant for the business or that they do not have an inventory for. Let's say, just to come up with an example, let's say you're in fashion, you're selling jeans, but you don't have black jeans. You're only in the blue and the traditional colors. But the search terms, the word black can be spread out over many, many different search terms in the long tail of your reports. So you might not notice it.
Ah, good point.
An easy fix.
Yeah.
Another one would be, I think.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I think another interesting thing is that with the move to smart bidding by Google is we get to spend less time on optimizing the CPC bids, which I think in theory is a good thing. And for many accounts, it's doing a great job.
Yes.
However, also, again, the smart bidding algorithm, it's trial and error. It needs data to actually learn what user queries deliver high-value clicks for your business.
Right.
And during this learn, it's constantly experimenting and constantly learning. So during these experiments, there will be showing up new search terms in your report that are not relevant to your business. Once they do, you should negate them as quickly as possible. And the third one would be, of course, the increased number of fuzzy matches due to the close variance in the different match types. That is also definitely something to keep an eye on, and you can prevent irrelevant close variants by using negative keywords. But again, it's something that takes a lot of time if you do it manually, and that's why I think there's still a huge opportunity for many many advertisers to make more use of it.
Yeah, I agree with you. Let's see. Before we break away, we've got time for another one here. I'm going to skip down to Q3 and... interesting that something as simple as being able to sync column is really once really makes advertisers want to pop that bottle of champagne.
exactly.
they must not have very interesting lives, I guess. But I really like the fact that B2B audience targeting made it into that list because again, I'm a big proponent of Google Display Network and especially audience targeting as opposed to contextual or topic targeting.
Right. I don't have many experiences with this yet because it's still in beta and in the Netherlands.
Oh, really? Okay.
It's very hard to get it. So
yeah, it's very powerful. I mean, I put B2B audience targeting in GDN. I think it is equally powerful to the very precise targeting you can get in Facebook ads.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would be major, yeah.
Yep. Hey, we've got to split again for another message from our audience or from our sponsors. So hold on, Niels, and listeners, don't go away.
PPC Rockstars. We'll be back after we click through our sponsors.
Do you look at the task of ranking your site at the top of the search engines like you would climbing the top of Mount Everest? It doesn't have to be. TopSEOs.com knows how hard that climb can be, and they can make top ranking a reality. TopSEOs sends you to only the right search vendors and agencies that they know will work for you. Since 2002, TopSEOs.com has reviewed and researched the best search engine marketing agencies and solutions providers. Don't risk the cost of falling off the proverbial peak of search rankings. Let TopSEOs give you peace of mind. TopSEOs.com, the independent authority on search vendors.
Ready to do a podcast for your business? Make that podcast elevate to enterprise level. Let WebmasterRadio.fm expedite and execute your podcast to build your brand and broaden your customer base. WebmasterRadio.fm has worked with the world's biggest tech brands, Google, Yahoo, and Bing, and have worked with fast-growing brands like ShipStation and GoDaddy. Now it's your turn. Contact BRASCO at WMR.fm and rush your enterprise-level podcast into production at a very reasonable rate. Email BRASCO at WMR.fm.
The pursuit of PPC continues. Welcome back to PPC Rockstars. Here's your host, David Zatella.
And we are back with the final couple of minutes of the show. Niels, let's talk about these frustrating things. Disapproved ads. Okay. This is one that everyone hates, especially if it is an agency or a consultant, because the client calls up and says, my ads are disapproved. You've got to get them approved. And right. I find that probably half the time, Google has flagged paused ads or ads from campaigns that are paused and disapproved those. And it's crazy, but it's just a bad algorithm. Have you found that as well?
Yeah. Especially the last 6 months. I think it's very interesting. Since the start of the COVID crisis, there's been a huge increase in ad disapprovals in almost all of my accounts.
Good point.
The reason I think is that because of, there's always advertisers that try to abuse the situation, and Google wants to prevent that, of course. So they change some of the processes in the first the policy and then the processes in actually in the approval process for the ads. But of course, Google had some challenges as well with the logistics of the people that work. We're in the teams working on the ad approvals. Sure. So I think that's also a challenge for them. And in the end, I think they also changed something in the algorithms that detect the ads that sort of not meet their guidelines or are against the policy. So what I think was happening is that they came up with new AI models to detect ads that are sort of not in line with their policy and left it up to us to train the algorithm. As in, the ads get disapproved for no reason, and we have to resubmit them to make sure that they get approved again to keep the ads running, which is a tedious task. It can take like days, even weeks, with interactions with you and the Google rep to actually get them approved again, which is not a nice thing to do. But here's the thing. I think the listeners will appreciate it. I came up with a little trick, a hack to actually get them approved without much effort.
Ooh, okay.
So what I did is I created a script to alert me if ads get disapproved, because I've noticed that although the Google Ads interface will tell us if ads get disapproved, very, very often there's a delay between 24 and 48 hours before you receive the alert. You can see it in the interface or via email.
Okay.
But I want to know it as quickly as possible. So that's why I created the script that runs every hour. But then I decided this takes me a lot of time to actually resubmit them. So let's do a trick. Let's create another script that makes a very little change to the ad copy and resubmits it automatically. So what the script basically does is it adds or removes a dot at the description line. So it's a very minor change that automatically resubmits. And like 80% of the time, the ad gets approved again automatically by the system and the ads are running.
So that's what an incredible time saver. Okay, I've got one for the listeners as well for this list. The second item on the list that's frustrating is calls from Google representatives. So I'm not sure this refers to support or Google representatives that try to get you to spend more money, but I've got a tip for support, and that is never call them. I have never called Google's. Well, I probably did one time or two times until I realized that there's a better way, and that is to use online chat rather than calling, because basically you get the same people, but you don't have to hang on the phone with them. And frequently there's a difficulty in conveying the problem, partially because there may not be an English as a common language issue. But anyway, it takes a lot less time and it certainly feels a lot less frustrating to just type questions and answers than it does hanging on the phone with the support people.
Yeah, it's a good one.
Yeah.
It's one of the advantages of asynchronous communication.
Exactly. Let's see, what else do we have here? Inability to target search partners separately. That one's been around for so many years. I mean, I don't know why. You know, I think Google's afraid that advertisers will just turn that off instinctively. My phone is talking back to me because I said Google. Okay. But anyway, that's a silly one. Do you use... Yeah, go ahead.
The thing is, with the search partners, to be honest, I didn't know myself. I just discovered like half a year ago that even if you have your campaign running on manual CPC without the enhanced feature, if the search partners are switched on, then you are using some sort of like smart bidding algorithm for the search partner.
Okay.
It is, I didn't know that was the case, but.
Okay. I see what you're saying. Yeah.
It's they call it smart pricing, the algorithm.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah.
It's
so,
like.
So the CPC is good too.
Hey, listen, I hate to say it, but we are at the end of the show. I've been enjoying our conversation. Going to have to get you back on soon. So, danke vel for the good conversation.
Nice. Thank you, David. And be safe. Stay healthy.
Thank you. You too.
Chat soon.
Same here. And listeners, thanks for sticking around with us. And come on back in a couple of weeks for another episode of PPC Rockstars.
The opinions expressed on this program are those of the guests and hosts and do not necessarily reflect those of WebmasterRadio.fm's management or sponsors. Any rebroadcast or redistribution without authorized consent of WebmasterRadio.fm is prohibited.